Hi, I'm Matt Shepard.
And I'm Chad Shepard.
And today we talk about letting our heart get in the way of our head. That's coming up next on Shep Shower in Shape. Interesting, while watching the other night, you watched Game 7 between the Pittsburgh Penguins playing for their Eastern Conference Championship against the Ottawa Senators. And I was rooting for Ottawa. I'm not afraid to admit it. I was rooting for Ottawa. But I did talk about on social media, on Twitter, about the appreciation I have for certain athletes. Even though I may not always like them, and I sure don't like Pittsburgh, I do have an appreciation for Sidney Crosby, who had a really strong Game 7. And then I thought played very well in Pittsburgh's opening Stanley Cup championship win, 5-3 final against Nashville, and they play Game 2 tonight. And the response I received on social media, and you were seeing it too, Chad, because you were responding and kind of backing up some of the things that I had to say, to me was almost alarming. And it's not that I expect people to like an individual. I get it. I get why you don't like certain people. What surprises me is how people let their hearts get in the way of their heads, or their strong dislike for a certain individual affect their judgment on whether or not that player is actually good. And Sidney Crosby is a really good example. Here's what bothers me. What Michael Jordan said about the Pistons in the late 80s and early 90s isn't even close to what Sidney Crosby did to Nick Lidstrom in 2009. What Michael Jordan and the Bulls did to the Pistons and the amount of national fanfare and love fest that they had for him back when he was playing is not even close to what the national media does with Sidney Crosby. And yet when Michael Jordan came back to the Palace as a member of the Washington Wizards, he received a gut-wrenching standing ovation. And I know because I was there. And I almost threw up in my mouth that a guy like that could say what he said about our first city or our first NBA championship teams and disregard them so much and do what he did to the best basketball player this city has ever had in Isaiah Thomas with the Dream Team, and he was welcomed with open-armed back. Sidney Crosby, who's a much better person than Michael Jordan, is an incredible player, doesn't do something that was fast enough for our liking after his first ever championship, and people do not want to give him any credit whatsoever. This guy is the world's best player, and people were tweeting back at me, he's not even the best player on the Penguins, which, you know, if I wanted to get in a tit-for-tat moment, I suppose I could. My question to them would have been, well, then who is?
Oh, they're going to say Evgeny Malkin? It's laughable. Evgeny Malkin's having a higher scoring playoff. And that's about all you can say, that he's definitively better at Sidney Crosby than. I don't want to hear that. It's laughable to me that people are going to bring this kind of argument about. There's not a player in the league that skates like Sidney Crosby. Connor McDavid is the only guy who I think you can put in the same kind of conversation with respect to his ability to use his edges, move around on the ice, and retain control of the puck. Sometimes that guy's faster with the puck than without it. Faster with the puck than a lot of guys could be without it.
And that's hard to do.
He makes everyone around him better. All four players on the ice with him are better when he's out there. He can play, if you see a popular thing in the NHL is putting forwards back on the point during the power play. Sidney Crosby doesn't play the point during the power play. But if a defenseman leads on a rush, he's the forward I want back there at the blue line, holding that spot. I don't want Evgeny Malkin backing down on a two-on-one and trying to make a defensive play. Sidney Crosby is the most complete hockey player in the NHL, and to me, it's not that close. And people willfully choose to see him in another light because they don't have fond memories of him when the Penguins and the Red Wings played against each other in the 08-09 Cup Finals. Get over it. It's been almost 10 years. Move on. You're more willing to like the Blackhawks and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and players
right.
like that.
Right.
It should be ingrained
right.
in you as a Detroit sports fan to dislike everything Chicago.
You
have a larger tolerance for that than for the best player on the planet.
I mean, first of all, I would argue this. I think Michael Grabner Dylan Larkin, Connor McDavid, all really good
end-to-end
skaters.
End-to-end speed, but yeah. There's a difference between that and using your edges and doing it with the puck.
Right,
Dylan Larkin plays well with his edges,
all right,
as well as Connor McDavid.
Obviously. What about Erik Karlsson? Erik Karlsson, really good skater, right?
To me, yeah.
Carl Hagelin, the former Wolverine, really good skater.
To me, Erik Karlsson is the most interesting retort to the fact if you say Sidney Crosby is the best player in the world. I think Erik Karlsson is the most interesting counter-argument to that. And he plays another position, so that's what makes part of that conversation so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to compare. You know, we talked in a previous episode about comparing baseball players across generations and how that's actually enticing. Hockey, the stats are a little bit different. The metrics aren't – it's not as black and white. It's not quite the same, and people don't play the same way. Mm. When you have a tough time comparing across positions in the same generation, forget about a defenseman in Bobby Orr's era versus a defenseman in today's era. But Erik Karlsson's a tremendously exciting player, but he's not Sidney Crosby. He doesn't make everyone on the ice better than him at the same time.
What do you make of when people say Connor McDavid's the best player in the league?
I think it's an early coronation. I've been a fan of Connor McDavid since he had, you know, we're not quite as privy to all the information as the Canadians are, but since he got age 15 exemption into the Quebec Major Junior draft, you know, I've been a fan of his. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of following him since then, and then his time with the Erie Otters where he put up just absolutely otherworldly production. It's a little early still. We saw what they did this year, making it to the Western Conference semifinal before losing to Anaheim. But they had a 2-0 lead in that series, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's got as good a cast around him as any Edmonton team has had since they've gone on this string of draft lottery luck. And they've got the best goaltender they've had in that stretch since Dwayne Roloson, really, and Cam Talbot. To me, Edmonton is on the precipice of a really exciting era. And we could see Edmonton-Pittsburgh a year or two from now in a final, or Edmonton-Toronto. That's what I think the future holds. But Connor McDavid's not quite there yet, and I think he would tell you that, and I think he does at every opportunity still talk about how incredible it is for him to watch Sidney Crosby.
If Sidney Crosby were on the Red Wings, how would people in Detroit feel?
The statues would be under construction, I think. He would have had, you know, assuming the success level is the same as well, mm-hmm. brought us another cup and be on the verge of another one.
See, let me tell you why I think he's the greatest player on the planet. I don't think he does one thing great. I think he does a lot of things very, very, very well. Okay,
I think he does a lot of things great.
Okay, a lot of things great. Then yeah, because like I think he's a gifted passer. He's unbelievably creative. He's got a great shot, but he doesn't have the best shot. He's, as you mentioned, you would know this better than I would, a great skater, but he's not the best skater. He's a very gifted passer, but I don't think he's the greatest passer. His hockey IQ, I think, is beyond anybody else in the game today, and I think that's the reason, first and foremost,
he's the best. It looks like he's playing on a tilted board at times, or that there's a special magnet for the puck in his stick, because it's seriously more than anybody else in that game, which is, you know, it's difficult to dictate mm-hmm. the same way in football and in baseball and things like that, but
right.
basketball and hockey, you really have room for an individual to dictate more. Sidney Crosby, it looks like he is already scripted the order in which the puck is going to bounce around the boards, and he knows ahead of time, and he's mm-hmm. just remembering the order of where he needs to be next. He heads it off at places where you wouldn't think you'd have the presence of mind to understand where the puck's going to be going. He moves around on the ice like nobody else, and that's why everybody else around him is made better for it.
How much of this disgust, this angst, if you will, comes from hockey fans who believe that Crosby has been anointed too quickly and is the quote-unquote golden child? And I would remind people this, that they forget that there is every single year a player who is anointed. And when I say that by the media. If you don't think that there was an anointment for LeBron James, who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you're wrong. He was. And every guy since Michael Jordan retired, they've talked about who is the next Michael Jordan. It happens on a regular basis in every draft, probably for every sport.
So how much
do you think is the fact that when you talk about the all-time greats, you talk about Gordie Howe, you talk about Wayne Gretzky, you talk about Bobby Orr and Nick Lidstrom and Guy Lafleur, who played for the Canadiens, and Mark Rocky Messier
Richard and
Rocket Richard
Lemieux.
And Bobby Hull and Mario Lemieux and Ray Bourque, if you will, and Martin Brodeur and Patrick Roy, that Sidney Crosby is the guy who is thrust into that conversation from young guys. If you look right now and somebody said to you, give me the top 25 players of all time, there would probably be three guys who play right now who are in that conversation. Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, and Jaromir Jagr, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I might need a second to think about goaltending. I don't know if anybody would belong in that conversation, but I think you're right. I think that's a fair, arbitrary point to cut it off.
Okay, so if that's the case, and people view, I mean, there's a lot of guys. Pierre LeBrun had something the other day. He tweeted out that Sidney Crosby's a top five player of all time right now, and I don't think that's true.
He said he agrees with Jeff O'Neill, who is a former Toronto Maple Leaf,
right.
Who said
and
that
Carolina
Crosby,
Hurricane.
Crosby is a top five player all time with Bobby Orr, Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe, and then the debate is who fits in the remaining two spots between Sidney Crosby, Rocket Richard, and Mario Lemieux. That's their list.
Wow.
One defenseman, obviously, Bobby Orr in that group. So yeah. He feels there's three surefire guys, and then that Sidney Crosby belongs in that conversation. You feel that's a little too strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. I mean, Rocket Richard was the first to score 500 goals in a career, led the league in scoring five times, finished with 544 career goals. Mario Lemieux, just an amazing talent if it weren't for the illness.
Another guy who's really changed the game.
Yeah, I mean he had the injuries and of course diagnosed with cancer as well. But he came back from that and had 30 goals and 26 assists in the final 20 games of a season. I mean, you talk about a dominant player. He's a dominant player. And this is the beauty of sports, by the way. It's all great debate. I personally think Nick Lidstrom belongs in there. I mean, the perfect two-way defenseman. Won 7 Norris trophies, 4 Stanley Cups, a Conn Smythe trophy. That's pretty tough to beat. But my point is that Sidney Crosby, he's got 2 Stanley Cups, and game 2 is tonight. He might have a third when all is said and done. He's got 2 Hart trophies. He got 2 scoring championships. He's got a Conn Smythe. He's got 2 Olympic golds. He's got 5 gold medals overall when you look at the World Cups and so on and so forth. And he was the MVP of the World Cup.
And a captain on a number of those World Championships.
Right, and a young captain at a number of those. When you talk to other people who play the sport, I'm not talking about my eye test or an observation from the outside looking in. When you talk to everybody else, what do they say? They say that he's the best player in the world. I think that resonates with me. That means something to me. Now, here's what I would ask you. And this recently came out, all right? The world top 100 athletes. Okay, it was recently released. Cristiano Ronaldo, who I wouldn't know walking down the street if he bumped into me, was number 1. LeBron James was number 2. Lionel Messi, again, a soccer player who I wouldn't know.
Cristiano Ronaldo, right. And I think Lionel Messi.
It's Ronaldo, LeBron James, Lionel Messi, who, again, if he came up and kicked me in the groin, I wouldn't know who he is. Roger Federer and Phil Mickelson. That's the top 5. There is not one hockey player in the top 100. The last time this list was released, Sidney Crosby was the only hockey player. Does the NHL suffer from some type of identity crisis?
Yes, I do think the NHL suffers from an identity crisis, and I think it lends itself a little bit to what we talked about in our most recent episode, and that's the way that the league markets its players, none of whom are bigger than the sport. If you watch an NBA commercial, you might really think LeBron invented basketball. If you watch enough NFL films, you might really think that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, you know, have changed the way the game is played, and they have to a certain extent. Hockey, I do think, suffers from a little bit of that identity crisis. And that brings me to an interesting tweet we saw last week from everyone's favorite ESPN character, Darren Rovell, who said, "No one in the history of sports was more hyped than LeBron. He doesn't get enough credit for living up to that hype."
Yeah,
could you say the same thing about Sidney Crosby if you give the Canadian media market its due in terms of young up-and-coming players?
Because excellent question.
He had that draft exception just like Connor McDavid did, where he entered the major junior leagues at 15, and he was a target from that day forward.
Right on.
Okay? So depending on the credit of intensity that you give the Canadian media market, Sidney Crosby's done the same thing as LeBron, way less loudly, okay? He's a lot less boisterous and in your face. And now a lot of times those mics are shoved in LeBron's face and he's got to say something. So I'm not trying to act like he wants to walk out in front of a camera every time he gets a soundbite. But Sidney Crosby's gone about it in a quieter, more humble way. And it shows you the difference in sport, the way that Sidney Crosby came into the league and he lived with the Lemieux for his first couple seasons.
Right.
I believe his first two seasons. Yeah. He might have lived with Bill Guerin for a year, if I remember correctly. It's a completely different world. And the NBA immediately brings LeBron to this pedestal, and he has handled it remarkably well and deserves a ton of credit. But Sidney Crosby perhaps deserves just as much or a close to the same amount of credit. He's shouldered a country that has so much higher expectations and so many fewer points of focus. There's so many more eyes on Canadian hockey. And he's done it very gracefully and full of class.
To mention, he's followed one of the greatest players of all time in Mario Lemieux. Not to take anything away from LeBron James. Who did he follow in Cleveland? Bingo Smith? Brad Doherty? Mark Price?
Look at the conflict between LeBron and Jordan. It's not like they're openly feuding, but they're not friends,
right?
At least from our understanding.
Right.
Wayne Gretzky embraces Sidney Crosby. He pushes for him to even do better and break his records.
Lemieux's boss
invited him in and is now signing his paychecks to live with him. It's a completely different approach from a sport perspective, and I think Sidney Crosby's just quietly been equally great, if not as great. To me, LeBron's greatness is pretty much unparalleled in American sports right now. Sidney Crosby, if you truly value the Canadian market, which I know does not hold a candle to American media, is at the same level. He really is. And, you know, the struggles of this next athlete, we can perhaps talk about at another instance, but Tiger Woods, had he never fallen off, I think is the only guy who might be at that level. Had he taken the Tiger trajectory, he never run into the issues he ran into. You know, he'd be an icon in his own right.
I think it's a great point that too many times we penalize those guys who get all that pub, and we hold it against them when we should be congratulating them, patting them on the back for not just having the hype behind them, but living up to it, because that's the most difficult part of the entire process.
Especially in an era where we search so often for real, true role models for our children. We have a tough time having them find the right athletes for them to look up to. Here's a couple of guys in Sidney Crosby and LeBron that are doing it the right way, and you want to vilify one or both of them.